Hello and welcome to No Helmet Required. Today, however, we are not going to be doing our usual recap of the original Hallmark series Cedar Cove. Rather, instead, we are bringing you a special edition, in which we're going to recap a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Tis the season.
Brian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Uncle Brian, and I like to watch my Hallmark Christmas movies in one sitting, in the background, and that's pretty much it, and sometimes with some tea.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
I'm Auntie Karen. I tend to be in and out so much throughout the day and throughout the week that it can take me 2 or 3 days to watch one Hallmark movie, and I can watch it in like 20-minute increments. Usually, I'm dead tired, I turn it on, then I fall asleep in about 15 minutes, and then I have to find my place again and try again the next day.
But it works for you.
It does work for me. I find it very soothing.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
You may have noticed, dear listener.
You may have noticed that Auntie Sarah is not here today. Brian, do you happen to know where she is?
Well, I mean, I we've both been sworn to secrecy on this, and so I'm just going to say she may or may not be following Trans-Siberian Orchestra on their Ghosts of Christmas tour as a groupie. So, I mean, I may or may not be doing that this holiday season.
So. Top secret.
Yeah.
Although that does sound like something she would enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if she's doing that, I hope she's having
doing
fun.
That. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So
why are we doing this?
Yeah, why are we doing this? Well, the thing is, we've been threatening to do this.
We have.
For years. Wanting, craving, desiring, and not quite getting our act together with the busyness. It's a busy time of year. We're academics.
Yes.
And there's finals, and then by the time finals are done, it's like scurry, scurry Christmas, traveling. And this year we magically had one afternoon.
Yes, and so here we are, and we're excited.
So, Uncle Brian, what movie are we doing?
We're doing Christmas at Dollywood!
Woo! Dollywood!
Dear listener, if you haven't caught this movie yet, you still have several chances, including,
of course you do.
I think, on Christmas Day. I looked this up last night on the schedule.
Oh, that's a top spot!
Yeah, it's a good spot, right? So you can still see this if you're intrigued by what we have to say today. And the cast includes, like you mentioned, some Hallmark heavies.
Mm-hmm.
Our leads are Niall Mader and Danica McKellar. So
Niall Mader, it looks like Matter, dear listener.
It sure does. M-A-T-T-E-R. His name could be Neil Matter just as easily, right?
Right, but it's Niall
Mader. I checked that. It must be the Canadian pronunciation.
it's the way they say it in Vancouver.
Right, yeah.
He's cute. I think he's cute.
I never thought that before. I'll say something about that later, too. I never liked him, but I thought he was cute in this movie.
There were moments.
Yeah.
There were scenes where I was like, oh, he's cute.
Yeah. I think I got him for the first time in this movie. And we can talk more about that later, if you like. And as you might expect,
Dolly Parton
appears in this movie as well.
We get some Dolly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
And of course, Danica.
Oh, yeah, Danica. Yeah,
Danica
yeah.
McKellar.
Math.
Genius.
Genius, yeah.
Educator.
Promoter, yeah, math educator.
And you may remember her as Winnie.
Yeah. That's exactly how
Would
I remember
you
her.
Remember her?
That's all. That's the only way I remember
from the
her.
Wonder Years.
But she's also, in the last couple of years, become, she's increasingly sort of a Hallmark A-lister,
oh,
right?
Oh, for sure,
like,
yeah.
I mean,
no,
she's
given
even got
her
whole, like, stupid matchmaker mystery.
She has a new
now.
Mystery franchise,
yeah.
Which is not good.
No, it's not.
But whatever, I mean, you know.
Yeah, she's on her way, yeah, so.
She's carving out a quite a home for herself on the Hallmark Channel.
Yes.
And I think it's where she belongs, honestly.
Yes, she's, yes. Yes, I agree. I like how she fits in there. Yeah.
Okay.
So before we dive in, I think there are some preliminaries to discuss, and I think the first one is let's figure out where we stand on Dolly and Dollywood. Like, what's your experience with Dolly and or Dollywood, Auntie Karen?
Well, I have adored Dolly Parton since I was a young child. My favorite movie as a youngster was 9 to 5, which may not, looking back, have been too appropriate for a 7-year-old, but I had it on VHS, and I watched it all the time. I have the whole thing memorized. And I thought Dolly was especially spunky and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I loved when she sang. I had the song 9 to 5 memorized.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed, I had a cassette tape of, like, greatest hits.
Uh-huh.
And some of the ones that really pop out are the Coat of Many Colors.
Sure, sure.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
And there's a reference in the film.
At least one.
Which I may have teared up at.
Oh.
I have not, however, ever been to Dollywood.
Right.
Although I tried. My sister and I were driving across the country, and we stopped in Graceland and kept going. And it seemed like we were maybe going to eke out a day to get to Dollywood. And then these thunderstorms started.
Oh, the scourge of
real bad late summer thunderstorms.
Yeah.
We could barely see out of the windshield.
Oh.
She had to get to North Carolina in time to pick up her keys from the landlord.
Right.
And we had to just not go, which was sad.
Oh, that
so I've never
sad.
Been to Dollywood as much
yeah.
as I would have loved to go. And what about you? What is your, how are you coming to this movie? What's your Dolly background?
I have also never been to Dollywood, although I did drive through the Smoky Mountains once, briefly.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I really have a taste for the terroir, right?
terroir.
Of the whole thing. I've seen 9 to 5 and Steel Magnolias, but neither in the last 20 years.
Oh, Steel
so,
Magnolias.
So, like, they're just so distant
I
to me.
I watched that movie about
what?
2 months ago.
Really?
Yeah, it was
because
on...
you needed to cry?
Exactly. Yeah, it was on Hallmark Drama. You know how they recycle on Hallmark Drama? Yeah, so I watched it. I was in the mood, and it's
gosh.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's really something.
Wow.
Yeah. Sally Field just kills you.
Oh, she's, yeah.
Dolly is excellent as Truvy, the hair, the hairdo.
Right, right, right.
Yeah,
yeah
she
yeah,
says,
true.
I don't trust anyone who does their own hair.
That's not terrible advice. yeah, so I've seen those, but it's been so long. I think I knew maybe, I realized maybe I know like 3 Dolly Parton songs. And so then I went and listened to a bunch last night. Like I just went and found a whole playlist and listened to them all. There's some good stuff there.
She's a good songwriter.
Yeah, she is. And then also my dear friend Sarah, not Auntie Sarah, but my dear friend Sarah's wife, Emma, is a giant Dolly Parton fan. And I've watched her play Dolly Parton pinball. So
that's another
part of my experience.
Yeah, another part of your experience.
Yeah. And that's about it for me. So I don't have a lot of Dolly experience coming into this.
And yet you were really excited about this movie.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's maybe also because I have a degree in literature, I want to talk about genre. Because I like categorizing Hallmark movies.
I like categorizing everything.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay. So what is the subgenre for this movie within the Hallmark Christmas genre? I'm thinking it fits in with, like, it's in that little box, like, ad for resort vacation destination, right?
Yes.
And so, of course, I would group it with last year's Kelly Pickler vehicle, Christmas at Graceland.
Christmas at Graceland, which was basically a 2-hour infomercial for a hotel across the street from Graceland. Right?
Yes. The guest house at Graceland, they call it.
Yeah.
It looked like a nice hotel.
I kind of wanted to go there, which I suppose was the point of the movie.
I agree. I also, I even looked up how
much
it cost.
Although Kelly Pickler was awful.
Well,
I can barely watch her.
So I know this is not your favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it a lot. I think I have very ambivalent feelings about the Pickler.
Mm-hmm.
But I find something really comforting about listening to her in that movie sing Sir Nert. There's just something... I know it's terrible.
There's something that works there.
I like it.
The marble mouth drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's so bad, but...
It's so bad. What was she saying? Most of the time. Don't know.
But I like that movie.
Yeah.
And Christmas at Dollywood, I think, is in that same subgenre. But I think it departs in a couple ways. And I mean, it's true. Like you said, most of Christmas at Graceland actually is not at Graceland. It's at the hotel across the street. And I was kind of annoyed that Pickler never made it into the Jungle Room. Like, how do you make a movie about Graceland?
It's like the teal living room or something, and that's it. You only get like one room in all of Graceland. You want more Graceland footage.
Yeah, it's kind of a lie. I think it's still recognizable, that film, as, like you said, an infomercial for a certain type of vacation. But the thing with Christmas at Dollywood, I don't feel like we see much of Dollywood.
I have in my notes, I wish there was actually more Dollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also don't see hotels or other amenities. We don't see Dolly's Smoky Mountain Splash County Water Park or whatever it is that's right next to Dollywood. Like, we see none of this. And so I think instead, it's interesting, because instead of selling us particular experiences of Dollywood, the movie's really more about a relentless self-mythologizing of its eponymous impresario. It's all about Dolly.
It's
her
true.
Image, right?
It's Dolly, like, is larger than life.
Yeah.
Dolly is inspirational.
Yeah.
Dolly as humanitarian,
yeah.
as philanthropist.
So, yeah, it's really, it's not about getting us to go to Dollywood. It's about us admiring Dolly.
Yeah,
right?
And Dolly is having a resurgence in other areas. Like, she's showing up in pop culture on t-shirts and mugs.
Yeah.
And she's really having a moment, which is interesting. Has that been orchestrated somehow for a reason?
I wonder, right? And this is part of it? And like, what PR firm is putting all this together?
Well, they're doing a good job.
They are. I mean,
I was sold.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I mean, I guess we're doing part of it. We're doing our part right now.
We are.
Oh,
we're doing our part
Dolly.
For Dolly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so
you want to recap? Is there any other preliminaries?
No.
I'm excited to hear your recap.
Well, let's talk about this movie.
Okay, let's talk about this movie. What happens? Dear Lister, we're going to take you through this whole movie.
So you don't have to watch it, but you will want to after you hear.
I agree.
Yeah.
I would recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as Dolly sings Winter Wonderland and the opening credits roll, we find ourselves in New York City. We're backstage at some sort of Christmas fashion show, which is not a real thing.
No, and the fashions were terrible.
Yeah.
There was this, I wrote this down right away, there was a double-breasted white satin blazer dress.
Oh my God.
A blazer dress hasn't happened since, like, the early 90s, but here it was.
Yes.
And it was hideous. And I didn't understand. I was just like, how is this? This is not a fashion show in New York.
No.
In this century.
Yeah.
In this millennium.
Right. Yeah, so not a real thing. It's a Christmas fashion show. But here we meet our heroine, event planner Winnie Cooper.
Winnie Cooper.
And that's all I'm going to call her for the whole recap, because that's who she is.
I don't remember her actual name in the movie.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
No.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Winnie Cooper.
It's Winnie.
Yeah. Her planning for the Christmas fashion show, still not a real thing, has succeeded. And her boss,
Danny
from Garage Sale Mysteries.
Garage Sale Mysteries. I wrote that down. It took me a second to place her because
she
looks real different. Her hair's shorter. She's wearing way less makeup. It took me a moment. But then I thought, oh, we get to see Danny now that the Garage Sale Mysteries are defunct due to Lori Loughlin's criminal behavior.
I was
going to
say, I'm very pleased that Danny has cut her hair and climbed out of the Lori Loughlin-sized hole that her career had fallen into. So, yay. Getting back on...
Go Danny.
Yeah, go Danny. So, Danny is pleased with Winnie's planning for this fashion show. And she tells Winnie Cooper that she's going to be running the company someday. And then Winnie looks pleased with herself. Cut to Winnie's daughter's room, all pink and fairy lights, as Winnie arrives home. The little imp, Ava, has waited up for a bedtime story. And Winnie, as a working mom, feels appropriately guilty.
Yeah.
So she spins her daughter a tale about an adventurous girl named Ava who magically travels. Put a pin in this moment, dear listener.
As I did while I was watching it.
Yes.
I was like, oh, here we go. Like, this is going to come back, that all she really wants to do is tell stories to kids.
Tell stories, yeah.
That's all she really wants to do.
So, keep track of that.
Yeah.
Luckily, the narrative kicks into gear pretty quickly. I was pleased with how fast things picked up. As the next day, Winnie is at dinner with her friend Mags. It turns out that...
Is that her name, Mags?
Mags.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mags.
I mean, that's kind of cute.
Yeah. And she's been in some Hallmark stuff, but I didn't look up what she's been in. It turns out that Mags works for Dollywood, and she's in New York to invite Winnie to return home to Pigeon Forge for Christmas. You see, it's the 30th anniversary of Smoky Mountain Christmas at Dollywood, and the event planner has dropped out just a week before the event. Winnie can plan the event, visit her family, and impress her boss, Gail, Danny, and maybe even meet Dolly Parton. That's so many wins.
Right. Of course she's going to do it.
Across the board. So
yeah,
many wins.
She's excited.
And, as she says, entirely unconvincingly, Christmas in Tennessee, that does sound nice.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
And it was kind of a flat line delivery.
Yeah.
These kinds of plot elements pop up all the time. The event is a week away, and there's some catastrophe. The event planner dropped out. They lost their venue.
Yeah.
The caterer died. Whatever. and there's always the plucky heroine who's like, that's no problem.
I can plan an event in six days.
Yeah, I can plan the 30th anniversary of Dollywood at Dollywood in a week.
Which hadn't been being planned for a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean,
and
you would think...
probably isn't already done. Right?
Right,
like when the event planner dropped out.
Like a week before it, everything would be done. Everything would be ordered, planned. Yeah.
Down to the... They'd be rehearsing already.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dress rehearsal.
Yes. But all right, sure.
Sure, this is how it works.
All right, cut to Show Street in a very crowded Dollywood, where we meet Luke, the narrative's designated soulmate for Winnie Cooper. He's played by Niall Mader, as we said before, and he's the park's director of operations, but he's got his eyes on the vacant position of general manager. He's been at Dollywood since he was 15, and he's ready for the job.
Did you enjoy his unwavering dedication to Dollywood, or did you find it odd, or both?
Both, I think.
Me too. There were moments where I thought, that is kind of sentimental and sweet, just like how much he loves Dollywood and won't even consider other possibilities. And it is also odd for this, like, grown, straight man who's never had any other job to be like, I know this is where I belong. Yeah. I love Dolly so much.
I mean, all of the employees... Over the top.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm.
Love of Dolly
was
cult-like.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe it's real. Maybe it's true. I've never been.
It's possible. I've
never worked there, so, yeah. Okay, so we got, let us take a moment to note that the three major characters we've met so far, Winnie Cooper, Mags, and Luke, all of whom grew up in the Tennessee mountains, have no trace of a Tennessee accent.
Yeah.
When they were casting these roles, I guess Kelly Pickler was booked.
I was curious about that. That's in my notes.
Yeah.
Literally no one has a Tennessee accent.
Yeah. Dolly is the only accent in the whole thing.
Yeah, Winnie's parents, none of the other employees.
Yeah.
Not a single one.
Yeah, it's really strange.
It's like they don't even try. There's not even like a slight twang or anything.
No, it's really odd.
Yeah, they all sound like they're from the Pacific Northwest.
And I mean, chunks of this movie were filmed at Dollywood, so it's not like they just recreated... It's not like they filmed the whole thing in Vancouver and had to make do with local talent.
Found a handful of locals to ring you up at the coffee shop and the bookstore.
Right. Nope. It was really strange.
Yeah, weird.
Okay,
weird.
So now Winnie and her daughter arrive at her parents' house, where there's a bit of a Griswold situation in the front yard.
It's something.
Yeah. The grandparents, who we later learn are nauseatingly called Grammy and Papa, promise or threaten that they are going to show Ava all of the old traditions while she's there. If you're playing Hallmark Christmas movie trope bingo at home, put a marker on the square marked checking off items on the list of Christmas activities.
There's always that.
You
There's
love that one.
The list.
That's your favorite trope. Because now it seems like it's going to be that kind of movie.
Yeah.
Even though, thank God, it...
Not really.
Doesn't become that.
It was really sort of an undertone.
Yeah. So they're going to start by writing letters to Santa, and Grammy insists, you can never write too many letters to Santa, but she's wrong.
I think I fell asleep at that point.
So, on Winnie's first day at Dollywood, she's wandering the park snapping random photos when Luke starts tailing her. He offers her a map and accuses her of being a spy. She criticizes the layout and decor of the VIP area he's been planning. They have a bit of banter. Minutes later, they meet again in the park's corporate offices, where there are huge photos of Dolly everywhere, like on all the walls, big cardboard cutouts. Okay. Winnie and Luke, they make pointless small talk about Dolly and how incredible she is. We learn that Dolly, like the woman of the people that she is, often walks around the park interacting with the commoners.
Wow.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
But I learned that from that scene. Oh, and I mean the real Dolly, not just huge photos of her.
Oh, good. There's not a hologram walking around.
Right, yeah. Or cardboard cutout.
How are ya?
Somebody
yeah.
carries around. Yeah. Briefly misunderstanding each other, Luke and Winnie think that they are both up for the same job. She's flirtily suspicious of him and kind of a bit spunky.
Mm-hmm.
I liked this. It's actually pretty charming.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
But then she learns they aren't up for the same job. Okay. Then we get to see both of their job in presentations.
Oh, boy.
Luke's includes a PowerPoint that has a context-free graph with fake, wildly optimistic attendance numbers on it.
Yeah.
All going upward.
All these things will increase visitorship by 18%.
Yes.
How do you know that, Luke?
Yes.
On what is this prediction based?
Yes.
just pure optimism.
Yeah, spunk.
Mm-hmm.
Winnie's interview is more inspirational in that terrible marketing kind of way. She says things like, it's not a party, but an event, and uses words like brand, warmth, and community. The board is deliberately noncommittal, and I bet you can guess what they're thinking. If we pair Luke's fictitious bar graphs with Winnie's slick advertising vocabulary, how could we go wrong?
Exactly.
Yeah. Back at Winnie's parents' house after the interview, the family is painting homemade Christmas ornaments. Check that off the list, Papa.
Did I fall asleep again? I'm missing all the checklist parts.
I remember
all
denial.
The,
you don't like the checklists. Maybe you just sort of focus out.
Yeah, maybe.
Like,
because I do remember
it doesn't
all
register.
That, yeah, all the Dollywood stuff and all the corporate headquarters stuff. But as soon as they go back to the house, I'm like, oh, boring.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true.
The parents are really boring.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah.
The house is super generic.
Super generic, yeah. So they're painting ornaments. We learned that Winnie's first husband, Kevin, I think, is dead.
Oh, he's dead?
Yeah, he's dead. Did you think he was still around?
I had no idea. Because there's this part where Ava is like, I'm gonna make a candy cane one for Papa. Papa liked candy cane, or Daddy liked candy canes,
yes.
Didn't he? And Winnie's like, yeah, he did. And so I thought, okay, he's probably dead, or maybe just took off. Don't know.
Yeah.
But he actually
died.
Yeah,
he's dead. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
Later that night, as she sits on the porch in the cold, drinking cocoa, why
do they do this in Hallmark movies? They are, it's like super cold, there's snow
supposedly,
on the ground.
Right, yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
And they're on the porch swing.
Yeah.
Why do they
like,
go outside when it's freezing?
Like, I mean, even in our climate, when it's never really that cold,
mm-hmm.
do I ever think to myself, I'm going to put on a jacket and go drink this outside, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
It is weird.
But they're out on the porch, and Winnie and her mom have a heart-to-heart. Winnie is excited about taking over Danny's company, which I assume is actually called Rags to Riches, someday.
Oh, probably,
yeah. But her mom tells her she's working too hard and says she should look for a 9-to-5 job.
So she can be there more for Ava.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It was at this point in the film that I wondered if the writers were trying to work as many Dolly Parton song titles as possible into the dialogue of the film, because 9-to-5 job got mentioned.
Whoa,
right?
my mind is blown right now. That had not occurred
to
me.
It got me all excited for Luke at some point to explain to Winnie that they are both islands in the stream, and for her to reply that is what we are. Wouldn't that have been a great scene?
Or some bitchy character named Jolene or...
Yeah,
you know.
yeah.
But no.
No.
They never did any of that.
Turns out to be a false hope. I saw no other
I think that
Dolly
was
Parton
just, that was
titles.
Just a mistake on the writer's part. Like, they just...
Yeah.
That was completely
They didn't even think about that,
yeah. they weren't even thinking.
failure.
Sloppy.
Yes. Sloppy.
Sloppy.
Sloppy. At Park HQ the next day, Luke and Winnie meet again in the waiting area. They banter. It's, again, surprisingly cute. The board asks them in together. It
what?
Turns out, yeah, they are the perfect team for the party, which is now only 6 days away.
Jesus.
They are both offended to be paired with each other. As they begin their work together, they learn that they have different styles. She wants a detailed action plan. He says things will be fine. And it turns out that he hasn't considered food or staffing for the party in 6 days.
Okay.
She's appalled and starts making plans. He calls her bossy, sexist.
I was really mad.
I was too.
He called her bossy. I wrote bossy. Oof. O-O-O-O-O-F-F-F-F-F.
Yes.
Oof.
Oof.
Not okay.
Not okay.
Mm-mm.
Not okay, Luke. Then they compare resumes, but in a competitive way. Not like trying to help each other.
Yeah.
Make their resumes better. We learn more about Luke's resume later that day as he's drinking at a bar named Bar with his buddy.
So true.
Backstory alert. He's a first-generation college student. And if he gets the general manager job, he will be the first in his family to reach the top of the corporate ladder. If you consider GM to be that, I guess.
The top of the corporate ladder?
That doesn't sound right to me.
No, it's not.
CEO, right?
That's not an executive position, general manager. I mean,
no.
It's important.
Yeah.
It probably pays well.
But yeah, not the top of the corporate ladder.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Also, it's weird that, like, he's worked at Dollywood since he was 15 or something,
yeah.
And he lives there.
Yeah.
There's no mention of his family. Like, there's no...
There's a reference to them later, but I do want to talk about, yeah, his family.
Okay, I mean, just, like,
yeah,
he's the first in his
yeah
family to go to college. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So I fell asleep at that part. Man,
well,
I really
we'll
thought
see.
I watched this whole movie.
Maybe they edited it for television. When you watched it. Okay, so, yeah, he wants to be the GM. His buddy says, hey, there are other parks out there. But Luke wistfully says, not for me. And so there we are again. This
yeah, he
strange
is...
Strange commitment.
He is weirdly dedicated to Dollywood.
Weirdly.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Like, he's a fanboy of the highest level.
He is, but it's never really clear what he likes about Dollywood. He doesn't really show us much, right?
He likes
Dolly.
It's a telling, not a showing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm super into Dollywood, just believe me.
Right. So at the park the next day, Winnie realizes that they should use the whole park for the event in 5 days. Not just the very literally named Show Street. But she doesn't know what they could do with the park. How will they come up with an inspiring idea? They'll go to her inspiration place, a children's bookstore.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Wait, it was a children's bookstore?
No,
not a regular bookstore?
It was probably a regular bookstore. But there was, like, children. They were in
the
children's
section.
And there was
true,
children's
true.
Story time.
I do think a bookstore is a good place to go when you are feeling uninspired or directionless or lackluster. It's like, oh, then you're kind of surrounded by creativity
yeah.
and ideas. I don't know that it makes
sense. The movie
sense.
Proved it.
Oh, true. It confirmed
yeah.
the idea.
Yeah.
I don't know that it makes sense for planning an event at Dollywood.
Right. Like,
why wouldn't you just walk around Dollywood?
Yeah, and hope. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, but, well, and we know why they had to go there, because as Winnie helpfully explains, Dolly started a foundation that donates books to little kids all over the world.
Boy, they sure did bring that up a lot.
How many books? Luke knows. Over 100 million and counting.
Wow.
Yeah. As okay. Winnie explains why she always gets inspired in bookstores, her daughter pops over and is introduced to Luke. He's charming and seems to like kids. We can see Winnie reassessing him
mm-hmm.
in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But slow your roll, Winnie Cooper. Because later that afternoon, Luke is on the phone with the CEO of Wild West Amusements, an amusement park that is somehow in Atlanta.
Yeah. Why is it called Wild West Amusements in Atlanta?
I don't know. It doesn't compute.
Because Wild East just lacks alliteration.
Yeah.
Wild West Amusements Park.
Or
in Atlanta.
Or Civil War Land.
Oh, Jesus.
But George Saunders... I always mention George Saunders on our podcast.
I do appreciate that. I'm sure some...
He wrote that story about an amusement park called Civil War Land.
Yes.
Yes.
I vaguely remember that.
It was a good story. but, yeah.
So he's getting a good offer.
He is, from Wild West Amusements. Yeah. And even though Luke has turned this offer down repeatedly, the CEO keeps calling, and he's not going to take no for an answer, and Luke tells him no.
Again. And that's our one person of color.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
But he's a CEO, so that's
he's a high level.
Good representation. Yeah.
Good representation. Yeah.
But, yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
You know.
After work that day, Luke and Winnie are decompressing separately with their respective besties. Luke is complaining about Winnie at the bar to his friend, while Winnie is complaining about Luke at a table with her best friend. They're both worried about how the other might ruin their career if this event tanks.
Mm-hmm.
The scene cuts between their complaints, but then, quite charmingly, I thought, I enjoyed this, we learn they're all in the same restaurant.
Oh!
Maybe there's only one restaurant in town.
Well, that makes no sense if it's a touristy destination.
Yeah, I guess not. And incidentally, that's why I never talk crap about people when I'm out to dinner in Santa Cruz.
This
is how small towns are.
Yeah, you have to look around. And if you have to say something, you have to whisper it.
Yes.
And then you have to look around again.
Yes.
Yeah, it's...
You never...
Yeah. No.
All right, so that was fun. Faux pas. Winnie and Luke are supposed to meet that evening to work on the party planning, so naturally Winnie asks him to come to her parents' house, where her dad is hosting his annual Christmas open house. Okay. Outside of the office, they get a bit vulnerable together.
Yeah.
They both apologize for their bossiness and agree that they have to work together so the event doesn't fail. And they also get an idea to have a cocoa station at the party.
Okay.
Luke is like, oh, that's a great idea.
Oh, we should have a cocoa station.
And it's like, duh.
Yeah, and at this point, it's like 4 days away,
yes.
Right? You shouldn't be having new ideas at this point.
Right, that
at
is also
point,
true.
At this point, everything should be set.
Yes.
The amount of goof-offery is astounding.
Yes.
It's like, oh, we'll go to the bookstore. We're going to stand around and have hot cocoa.
Yes.
There's more to come, I'm sure, which we'll be discussing.
Yeah.
But
there's even a whole... She has a day off during this period.
Right.
Like, she has... Like,
oh,
at one point, he says
to
her, what are you doing on your... Why are you here on your day off? And it's like, wait, she's here for seven days to plan this biggest event of the year, and she gets... And one of those days is her day off.
That makes zero sense.
Nope.
No.
No.
Oh, so much goof-offery. Okay.
Yeah. So the next day, they are working together, and they are crushing it. They have a food tasting, and it's yummy. They decide to move the show out of the theater and onto Show Street. Although it's kind of like the street itself had that idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Show Street.
Show Street.
Right. and they realize that Dolly should emcee the show, because I'm sure her calendar is wide open 4 days from now.
Right.
And nobody thought
about this and asked her to do it, and why was this not already a thing?
Yeah.
And anyways.
Right.
Turns out to be that's a great idea, because now there's so much more interest in it, because Dolly's actually going to be emceeing
it.
That's
right. I mean, I'm more interested.
True.
Yeah. But then they need more inspiration. They've run out of inspiration, and so he takes her to his inspiration place, more goof-offery, a snowman building, like, compound in the town square. Like, somehow that is... Do these people not understand what inspiration
I don't
means?
Think so. It was so confusing.
Like, let's go build a snowman so we'll have some good ideas about the party.
Yeah. It's a weird, like, oh, do something pointless and meaningless.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, but her daughter joins them, and Luke again shows how good he is with kids. Winnie reveals her dark secret. She likes books.
Oh, what a weirdo.
Like Auntie Karen, Little Women has been a really meaningful book for Winnie,
aww,
she says.
Oh, yeah.
And sort of like Uncle Brian, Winnie was even a literature major.
She said that in a very weird way, like, I was even a literature major.
That's how I say it.
Like...
That's how you say it when you're ashamed.
Totally. Like, it's just the most random thing. Like, I don't... Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was like... Lots of people are literature majors.
It's true.
It's not like a...
Yeah.
It's
not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then she admits that she used to want to write children's books, but she failed at it and instead became an event planner.
She tried that one time.
Yes.
It didn't work.
Yeah. But, yeah. So then Luke reciprocates and discloses how he was raised poor and how he's trying to end the cycle of poverty for his family. As Hallmark Christmas movie backstories go, I'm actually okay with both of these.
Yeah.
Like, I find them appealing and inspirational.
Yeah, and they're a little different.
They are.
A little bit different.
They've never had the guts to make anyone in a Hallmark movie like books.
No, and if they do, it's like...
Oh, except, well, my favorite, Darcy.
Yeah, it's a perky blonde who owns a bookshop.
Right, yeah.
And, like, that's her entire identity.
Yeah. But, yeah, this isn't her entire identity. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And has anyone ever grown up poor in the Hallmark universe? Is Niall Mader our first?
That's a really interesting question.
I don't recall anyone ever say. I mean, you see, like, oh, a young mom with one kid kind of down on her luck.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to help her out. But it's not like, oh, I grew up in poverty.
Yeah.
You never hear that.
No, you're right.
No.
I think we have Dolly to thank for both of these.
Yeah.
Because of her literacy philanthropy, somebody
had
to love books.
They had to
And because
make...
of her own inspiring backstory
mm-hmm.
up from poverty,
mm-hmm.
I think she inspired both of those.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Dolly.
Okay, so Winnie insists Luke come home with them, because why go back to work, where she forces him to bake a Yule log. She claims that it's, quote, the greatest holiday dessert of all time, which is obviously incorrect, because she has forgotten peppermint bark and about 30 other holiday desserts that are better.
Your peppermint bark is at the top.
I love peppermint bark.
Yeah.
But I also love, like, 30 other things that are just better than Yule logs.
I love just fudge. Just all kinds of
fudge.
Christmas fudge.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Rocky Road.
Yeah.
Fudge,
panettone, if we're going to actually have to do a cake thing. That's
a
fantastic cake thing.
Yeah.
Yule
log. Okay.
Lots of different Christmas pies that I would be happy to eat over a Yule log.
Christmas pies.
Yeah. And so then he talks about his lack of baking experience and how he doesn't decorate and all of that. And so then Winnie and her mom engage in some Christmas shaming of him because it's impossible to imagine someone who doesn't know how to celebrate Christmas correctly.
Yeah.
Put a marker on your trope bingo card for that, folks.
Yeah.
Christmas shaming. It usually happens to men.
You never put a tree up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
what?
Men.
You don't know how to bake Christmas cookies?
Oh, you never grew up doing you never made a gingerbread house or
you
entered
never worn
a gingerbread
an ugly Christmas sweater?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's usually men or it's like the
Career women.
The career women.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, don't eat gluten and
stuff. Yeah.
You know how they are.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, naturally, his Yule log is a disaster, but he's charming about it, I thought.
Mm.
And at this point, I think, in the movie, I realized that this is the first thing I've ever liked Niall Mader in. Like, I've always hated him in everything else I've seen him in.
Hated.
Disliked.
Disliked. I've always felt lukewarm. Like, he's fine. He's not terrible. He's okay. Not my favorite.
Yeah.
But I liked him a lot more in this one.
Yeah.
He was cute in this one.
Yeah, I really liked him by this
point.
Do
you think Danica brought that out in him?
I think there was chemistry.
Or the script?
But I think it's the writing.
Yeah.
And the directing.
Yeah.
I think they made him less... I mean, even when he was supposed to be a little cocky, they toned that down. He was less sort of cocky and smirky than he is sometimes.
Ah, true.
Yeah.
Good point.
Okay, so the next day is all about costuming decisions. Luke and Winnie like each other now, so we get a montage of them modeling ugly Christmas sweaters and other costumes.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was. The chair of the board drops by to tell them that the party is now going to be broadcast live on cable. Cable television!
Cable television! Because of Dolly, because of their idea to have Dolly be the MC.
Yes. No one else had thought of that. That ramps up the pressure, because who wants to look bad on cable? Not Dollywood, as we've seen.
And not Winnie,
right.
And not Niall.
Yeah. So this means the party and show needs a big finale, all caps, please.
Yeah.
Big finale.
That no one thought of until now.
Yeah, but Winnie is uncharacteristically out of ideas, so Luke invites her to the Saddle Inn that night. She says she'll make him line dance, and she actually has a kind of cute, flirty face when she says that. I do not think I have ever seen Danica McKellar do a convincing adult romance.
Yeah, she
always... So this is new territory for me.
She always flirts like a 12-year-old who doesn't actually know how to flirt.
Because, I mean, the two Christmas movies that I think of her in, like, she's like the help. And so she has to be sort of like this meek...
Subservient.
Yeah, like, she doesn't have the guts to, like... She doesn't have the position to, like, flirt with somebody as an equal adult.
Right.
Like, when she's the governess in the prince's mansion.
True.
And when she's running that house in Virginia, she's designing the Christmas...
Wait, Virginia? Was that Christmas at Grand Valley with Brennan Elliott, or
no,
a different one?
No, it was, It's where Charlotte from Cedar Cove is the old lady who lives in the house and...
Oh, I don't know if I remember this one.
Oh, it's the other one where, like, and her son hires Winnie to come and do the annual gala at this important Virginia historical home.
Oh.
And Charlotte's really difficult to work with.
Yeah,
and Winnie comes up with the brilliant theme of quote-unquote silver bells.
Yeah,
and then they
on.
Buy the cheapest silver plastic they can find and
yeah.
put it around the house, and
Terrible.
Everyone thinks it's elegant.
Yeah.
But again, she's like the help.
Yeah.
And she's like not allowed to eat. Like, people are like,
oh,
no one's sure if she should even be eating dinner with them.
Yeah.
And so seeing her like interact with somebody as an equal
yeah.
in a romantic way is really a new thing for me, and
I
liked it.
I see that. Same thing with Christmas at Grand Valley with Warren Saget. She's like this art teacher, and he owns the resort.
Oh, yeah.
And, but she's, I mean, he's kind of, he's not really her boss, but
yeah,
it's not an equal position.
Yeah.
And so, she's more of an adult here.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought she was good.
Yeah.
So at the Saddle Inn, which is somehow the same bar named Bar that we've been going to the whole movie.
Right.
But I guess it's the Saddle Inn.
It looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luke claims he doesn't dance, but there's no denying Winnie Cooper, and soon they're knocking boots on the dance floor.
Oh,
did I say that right?
Yeah. I thought this was adorable. I thought the line dancing
too.
Was super cute. They were actually dancing to the beat of the music. Which never happens on the Hallmark Channel,
yeah.
because they're always doing some generic slow dance, and
right.
then they dub the music over it,
yes.
and it never goes together. But they're actually line dancing
yeah.
to the music, which was fun.
I thought so, too.
And they even did some slow dancing, and I thought Niall Mader looked pretty hot doing the slow dancing with Danica.
Yeah, the DJ slowed
it
down a little, like you said. Think a steel guitar version of the first Noel.
It's pretty much what it was.
Kind of lovely.
Yeah, I liked it.
And they have a heart-to-heart on the dance floor. She's a little awkward, the way she's got her hand just laying on his shoulder. Like,
yeah.
they should have been...
A little more
intimate there.
Better,
but whatever.
Better direction there.
But they talk. She compliments him on his skills with the kids. He tells her that she shouldn't settle for event planning. She admits that Tennessee feels more like home than New York. He mentions his job offer from Wild West Amusements, and she tells him not to take it. Cut to walking up the steps at her parents' house. They awkwardly trip into each other's arms.
Yeah.
It looks like there will be a kiss. But then her mom opens the door and cock blocks them.
Who does that?
Grammy.
Yeah.
Grammy
it's just
does
like
that.
You hear two people coming home from a date.
Yeah.
You've been seeing sparks fly.
Yep.
For 3 days now.
Yep.
And they're at the door.
Yep.
And you just open the door.
In each other's arms.
Yeah.
Because they tripped into each other.
Didn't she look out the peephole first and say, oh, better not interrupt this moment?
No. Terrible,
no.
Grammy.
Terrible.
So they
really
go.
Not cool.
Not cool. They go inside for a Yule log, but not in the sexy way. Thanks, Grammy. And a bedtime story for Ava. And it's at that moment that Winnie has an inspiration for the big finale.
Woo!
But before we learn what that is, we have to sit through a pensive reflection interlude, where Winnie wakes up in the middle of the night and reads her old journals, while the soundtrack has Dolly singing
Hard Candy Christmas,
which I had never heard, and turns out to be a really good song.
It's a good song,
I've been listening to it all day.
Hard Candy Christmas?
Yes.
It's good.
It's great.
It's good.
And that song inspires Winnie to start writing again.
It sure does. I took a note at this, you know, it's funny, at this exact scene, It's supposedly the middle of the night, but she's wearing full makeup. And I'm noticing her makeup is different than it is in other movies.
Yeah.
And it's a very late 80s makeup. It's this super dark, shimmery, warm brown eyeshadow that goes, like, all over her eyelid.
Interesting.
And sort of a bronzy cheek situation, and then burgundy lipstick.
Oh.
Which is not current.
Right.
It looks good on her.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks really pretty.
She did.
But
she looked mature.
Yes, but it's a very old-fashioned palette.
Maybe that's, yeah.
And it's not current. Like, if you'll notice, you know, especially, like, look at the other 2019 movies.
Yeah.
Aaron Krakow in Sense and Sensibility and Snowman.
Right.
What's happening a lot this year with makeup is the women are, it's a very, very heavy foundation, lots and lots of makeup on the skin, bright pink cheeks,
okay,
hardly any eyeshadow, but giant false eyelashes.
Oh.
They're all wearing these giant false eyelashes.
We're living in a really false eyelash time.
I don't enjoy it.
I don't think either.
I find it distracting from your eyes. It looks like you've just got a couple of spiders hanging out on your eyelids, I can't even see your eyes because I'm just looking at these.
Did you
big
notice
black flags?
Did you notice they've cut back on Lackey Chasbert's eyeliner this season?
She does look softer.
Yeah.
In what is her Christmas in Rome?
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But I have seen the previews, and she looks a little softer, a little more natural.
They've pulled back a little on that. I do, too.
I like it. So, anyway, I was just noticing that they didn't do to Danica, to Winnie, rather.
Right.
What they've been doing to all the other actresses this year.
Why, I wonder.
I don't know. Maybe they want it to be more timeless, or...
Yeah.
Or
dated. We were looking for a more dated look.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fashion show was super dated
at
the beginning.
It was. Yeah. And Dolly's not of the moment.
Right. That's one way to say it, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah, I just thought it was an interesting...
That's great.
...choice.
Huh.
And her dresses were a little more...
Yeah, her dresses... Yeah.
They were kind of classic, but interesting, you know, just... Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked her wardrobe and hair and makeup and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So, for no apparent reason other than plot, the next day, Winnie and her friend Mags are surrounded by crates of books for Dolly's Imagination Library charity.
Why does she have anything to do with this?
I don't know. Mags notes that maybe someday Winnie will have a book in Dolly's Imagination Library. Mags touts her connections in publishing, and now we all know how the movie will end. Even as artificial and terrible as this subplot is, I do appreciate the focus on literacy. I do want to say that.
I do too.
Yeah, so... I'm okay with it.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, we learn what the big finale will be. It's going to be a parade.
It's going to be a parade of many colors.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I did actually shed a tear.
Did you?
Oh, the parade of many colors with a tree of many colors that reminded me of the coat of many colors, which that song just killed me when I was a little
kid. It's a hard song.
I would hear that song and I would just cry and feel so sorry
That's
for the poor
sad.
Kids.
Yeah. Yeah, the reference to the Dolly song is super cute, but as a title of a parade... It's kind of like titling your parade The Parade of Floats and Bands.
Yeah, it is generic.
Because, well, I mean, the parade will have many colors.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Really?
Okay. But again, this is a park that has a street called Show Street. So, there we are.
It's descriptive.
It sure is.
Or, well...
sort of.
It's...
Generically descriptive?
Yeah. It tells you what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the finale of the big finale will be a tree lighting. A giant LED tree, which I loved, actually, because I'm so tired of this, like, tree authenticity that they always have in these movies.
Oh, it
you
has
have
to
go
be
find
a real,
beautiful, real tree, and you have to go chop it down.
Tree.
Yeah. So I'm all for a giant LED tree.
Yeah.
I mean, outdoors at Dollywood.
And it was a patchy, because it was the patchwork
yes,
many colors.
Exactly.
It was a different looking tree than the huge.
But, says the tech guy, dun dun dun... The LED tree is being glitchy. And finally, we have some suspense in this movie.
Yeah. Finally, there's some conflict.
Yeah. At the park that afternoon, Luke and Winnie and Ava and Grammy and Papa are all decorating for the party because apparently Dollywood doesn't have any employees for that.
What that made that was so yeah. weird. That made no sense.
Luke uses this opportunity to deepen the mythology of Dolly by explaining that she often shows up at new employee orientations to welcome new employees, and that at his first orientation, he tripped and knocked her down, and she never forgot him. After
it was
that.
Memorable. And she, and there was one quote she said to him. She said, "Watch the hair, son."
Dolly.
Dolly.
Dolly mythology. As he tells the story, Grammy and Papa see the chemistry between Luke and Winnie, and they recognize it.
I have a note about this scene.
Yes.
I liked the way it was decorated. I liked the white, I liked the flocked trees with the red ornaments. I thought it looked really pretty. And the white tablecloths with the bows around. I thought it was pretty. I liked it.
That's Winnie Cooper.
Yeah, and
no wonder.
And that was a change because originally they were low tables with red tablecloths.
Yes.
And Winnie said to Luke, if this is an indoor-outdoor event, you don't want low tables because people will sit down and then they'll just stay sitting down and they won't
mill around.
And yeah, they won't see what's happening outside. When people come in from outside, there won't be anywhere for them to sit because all the chairs will be taken. So change it to high tables where everyone's standing around with their drinks and their snacks. And that's exactly what he did, and I thought that that was a very good point.
I agree.
For an event planner, that showed that she had some real
That's
knowledge.
Why she's going to be running rags to riches someday. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah, they have chemistry, so naturally it's time for the narrative to just really gently try and split them apart. That night, Danny from Garage Sale Mysteries calls and offers Winnie a partnership in her company, starting immediately. I guess she'll help to manage rags to riches. Well, the next day, the CEO of Wild West Amusements sweetens his offer to Luke. But Luke has other things to worry about. It's dress rehearsal day for the parade. Dolly is supposedly in the park and wants to see the tree now that the glitch has been fixed, but Dolly doesn't show, luckily, because the tree is still glitching.
Yeah.
I know the tech guy is Luke's best friend, but
why did
they
not
need to fix this.
Why did they not bring in a real electrician?
Yeah, exactly.
This went on way too long.
All this means is that they won't be able to test the tree before the big finale. Feel the suspense ratcheting up, Auntie Karen?
Will the tree light up at the finale?
I didn't really write much about this in the recap, but I liked the sort of Dolly is in the park, but Winnie never manages
really
to see
that
her.
Too.
This
I,
sort of like,
I liked the delayed gratification, because at the beginning of the movie, because you know, when you tune into a movie like this, you have no idea, is Dolly going to be...
Yeah.
All over the place in this movie, or is she going to be in one scene?
Yeah.
Or are they going to juxtapose her in, like they did with Mariah Carey in that one movie where she wasn't actually in the same room with anybody else, and they filmed her entirely
on
a green screen?
She directed that.
Was that like Merry Christmas Carol or Song of Christmas?
Oh, it
or
was something like that.
It was awful.
Lackey Chaspert was in it.
Lackey Chaspert.
Yes. I did like Lackey.
She was the other mom.
Yeah.
So I was curious, how much Dolly are we going to get?
Yeah.
And they've really planted those seeds.
Yeah,
like, oh,
they
teased
it.
She'll be dropping by. You're like, oh my God, she's going to be dropping by. And then you don't know. And
I loved that. Yeah.
I did like that.
So back at home that night, Winnie is still moping through her old journals. Luke drops by. The LED tree is still not fixed, but he's taking her and Ava out to quote-unquote Peppermint Lane, which is apparently some kind of peppermint-themed walking tour in town.
Uh-huh.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, we had a similar thing where I grew up. It was called Candy Cane Lane.
Oh, no.
And it was nothing official. It was just this one street in Chula Vista, which was just south of where I grew up. And everybody on that street just went bananas on Christmas. And that was, you always went there. And
they gave you peppermint. Candy cane related food?
No, they didn't give you anything.
Oh,
it was just that it was famous for the lights and the decorations.
I see.
And so you would go and you'd walk up and down.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I've been to a street like that in Portland.
Yeah, and it wasn't, anything official. It was just everybody knew that that street is the place to go on Christmas.
But this one appears to actually have peppermint food everywhere they went.
Yeah, and you would get... Well, I didn't understand what you would get besides peppermint bark and or candy canes. Like, what else is there?
There was a peppermint cupcake that Ava wanted. But, yeah, you run out of options really quickly, right?
Real fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, okay, he takes her to Peppermint Lane.
And Danica is like, don't you need to be working on the tree? And he's like, well, I'm just waiting for a call. I could wait for a call at home, or I could wait for a call on Peppermint Lane.
Well, that's the thing. They're both a little worried about the event, but then as they say, they're actually kind of relaxed because they're enjoying each other's company so much.
And they've done such a good job planning it thus far, except for dealing with the tree.
And everything else.
They're like, well, we have this under control. We can just chill out the night before.
They like
We're
each
not
other
needed.
So much.
Yeah.
She admits she's started writing again. He admits that he's been working too much and ignoring his personal life. They say nice things to each other, but in a coded way. They're still not ready to come up to say this out loud.
This whole thing of I've started writing again. When?
Two days ago.
Like, she just got to Tennessee. She's been working on this thing for like 5 or 6 days. How is this not consuming her entire life? Like, when does she...
Yeah.
I guess it's the middle of the night?
Yeah, when she's listening to Hard Candy Christmas.
And she hasn't taken her makeup off, so
really
she's got to do
song.
Something.
Yeah. Well, I could take my makeup off, or I could write a children's story. So, all right. Good. The next day, both of them are still working through this. Luke confesses to his buddy that he's been thinking about Dolly's wise quote, Dolly wisdom quote, don't get so busy making a living you forget to make a life.
Mm.
And then Luke's buddy convinces him to tell Winnie how he feels about her before she leaves. Meanwhile, Winnie is at home going through a box of her old rejection letters from publishers.
Why?
Keep those?
And why are they at her parents' house?
And why are there so many?
And why was she still... What?
It was terrible.
Also, why are they hard copies?
Right.
I mean,
oh, that's true.
She printed out the emails.
She's like, I know I'm at home and I have a job that will make my career, and so I should be spending every minute on it. Plus, I'm getting really into this new relationship with this guy I really like.
So instead,
and I've started writing again.
Yeah. So instead of texting him at 11 o'clock at night,
yes, I think I'll choose to read my old rejection letter. I've been feeling too good about myself lately.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to bring myself down.
Let me revisit why I don't have my dream life.
Yeah. Oh. So her mom finally suggests that she stay in Tennessee. She could still be a party planner because there are parties in Tennessee. And she could ride on the side.
That's pretty much the same as being a party planner in NYC, right?
I think so. And her mom suggests that there might be another reason for her to stay. I think she means Luke.
I think she means Luke,
yeah,
too. I mean,
so,
who knows?
Who knows, right? Yeah. Okay, finally, it's time for the event. At the park, Winnie and Luke are both gussied up. I guess they look pretty.
Yeah.
But they're not too fancy, which I appreciate.
No, like, yeah. Just,
this is Tennessee,
yeah,
after all.
It's a Smoky Mountain Christmas.
Yeah, no tuxedo.
No.
Based on a misunderstanding from earlier in the day that I don't even care to talk about, Luke thinks he didn't get the GM job, and he tells Winnie he didn't get the GM job.
I didn't understand that. I felt like that must have gotten glossed over or not edited properly.
Yeah, it was.
Anyways, so he's pretty sure he didn't get the job.
Because he thinks he saw somebody else get the job, yeah.
Yeah.
He's about to tell her how he feels about her when she ruins it by saying that they should both settle for good enough. He should go to Atlanta, she should be Danny's partner in New York. That's good enough.
Yeah. A good enough life is good enough.
Yes. Truism. And then finally...
Finally!
Dolly appears!
Dolly showed up.
She's in this... Oh, go ahead.
I was so excited to see her.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna...
You're gonna help, though.
Yeah.
She's in a silver sequin pantsuit with a white fur wrap. Say more, because that's all...
And,
you know how badly I describe clothing.
I mean, that was it, right? It's a silver sequined pantsuit situation with white snowflakes all over
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
And then some kind of fur wrap or vest.
Which
or
she takes off, like,
yeah, she's not
10
wearing
seconds
it very
later,
long.
So yeah.
She's got big red nails.
Yeah.
Big white platinum blonde hair.
Yeah, yeah.
She looks the same.
She does.
As always.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she recognizes and remembers Luke.
She does.
She says
yeah.
hi to him personally.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's excited to meet Winnie. She,
yeah, and then Winnie falls over herself saying nonsense.
Yes, at like
because she's so star.
Does,
she's
yeah.
starstruck.
I mean, I would too. I mean, I don't even have a thing with Dolly, and I would still probably be say stupid things. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, she's super likable. She's charming. She spirits Winnie away from Luke before they can talk more. And then finally, the show starts. Dolly does her whole MC shtick.
It's fine.
Charming, whatever. Yeah.
Are you going to talk about the variety show?
We get some excerpts from Smoky Mountain Christmas
we
that
do.
Don't really sell me on the show.
Really? I thought it
Did you
fun.
Like them?
I
oh,
it
talk about them.
So there was a there was a band, they were doing Jingle Bells or
something like that. Yeah, bluegrassy.
They had a stand-up bass, and I thought they were kind of fun.
Yeah.
I liked that. And there was some weird stage
show thing. Like, they were dressed like
Christmas Carol,
but they were singing about the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought...
I mean, Victorian Smoky Mountain.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, if I had other options for things to do,
yes,
that probably wouldn't be my first choice.
Right.
But if I were already there... If I was already on Show Street and
right.
I was bundled up and I had my peppermint hot cocoa,
yeah,
I would have gotten into it.
Yeah, okay.
I would have enjoyed it.
Fair enough.
It wasn't terrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we see the parade up to Glacier Ridge part of the park for the big finale.
But also, can we just talk for a moment about Hallmark's issue with crowds?
Yeah.
Hallmark is so cheap about paying extras for crowds. This should have been packed.
Yes.
And it's like they didn't even try. Like the way it was shot, it was shot to try to make 30 people look like
5,000. Yes. Which doesn't... I don't see how that makes any sense, because they clearly filmed this at Dollywood.
Right.
And there must have been 2,000 people who would for free
just stand
out there and watch a show and a parade.
Right.
Out of season Christmas show and parade.
Right.
At Dollywood that Dolly was emceeing. Like, how was this not the easiest thing in the world to get a crowd?
Yeah. I felt insulted on Dolly's behalf.
Yes.
I felt like, come on, this is Dolly, this is Dollywood. I know you guys are cheap with extras.
Yes.
But there was a way around this.
Yes.
Because the crowd was sad. It was paltry.
It was sad. But, you know, but I will also say that the actual parade, like the floats and lights and things, was clearly the best parade I've ever seen on Hallmark.
Yes.
Probably because it was actually a real parade.
They didn't get
any spectators for it. But, like, Dollywood probably had all the... Because you know what Hallmark parades look like. It's like
terrible.
Our pickup truck with an inflatable tree in the back.
Yeah.
like, that's the float. And then somebody...
So
in a Santa costume walks along behind it. And it's
waves.
The saddest thing in the world.
It's pathetic. Yeah.
So this was a really good looking parade, but just nobody
was there
to see it. Yeah. And then the big moment, it's time to activate the LED tree. And as you might have expected, there is a brief glitch. And then it works!
Yay!
Luke and the tech guy don't know how they got it to work, but it works. It's a Dollywood miracle.
It is a Dollywood Christmas miracle.
Dolly herself looks awed by the beauty of the tree.
Oh, she does, yeah.
Then she winks at Winnie and gives her a thumbs up. And you know, there's a really cute moment when Luke and his tech buddy, like, after they, like, just play with the connections on the laptop, the tree stops glitching. And then they just sort of, like, both... put their hands up and back away carefully from the laptop as if touching it would cause the tree to glitch again. And I thought
funny.
That was a kind of cute touch.
That's
like
a cute detail.
No reason to have that there, but it was cute.
Yeah. It was real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a quote about the tree not working. It's from a little bit earlier, but I really like it. It's a Winnie Cooper quote. They're talking about the tree. Maybe it's going to work. Maybe not going to work.
Oh, I know what you're going
to
say.
And she says, "We have to have faith. Because faith beats panic, and we only have 2 days." And I thought, faith beats panic. That's a good quote.
It is a good quote.
I mean, that's pretty much how I live my life.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But
like,
you know what?
Witty for the win.
Yeah, that was good. But
although
you know what beats faith? A tech guy.
I was going to say,
actually
doing something about the problem.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they really should have paired that with action.
Yes, yes.
But
yes.
I do agree that panicking doesn't help.
No, it's true. And faith, it won out.
Mm-hmm.
So after the show, everyone is thrilled. Mags says everyone at Dollywood was impressed by Winnie's show. Then Winnie cries and has an epiphany. She and her daughter should stay here with Grammy and Papa and Luke. She's going to become an event planner here. And you know, my Grinch heart grew a couple of sizes during this scene.
Mm-hmm.
But not when the kid was speaking. That just ruined it. Like,
mm-hmm.
the kid was terrible. But, like, when she was... Yeah, but when... But
she
when
was
she
selling
was,
it.
Yeah.
She was selling
her
it.
Tears
this
and the...
This feels like home.
Yeah.
And I never really felt felt like a New Yorker.
Yeah.
As one wouldn't.
Right.
You grew up in Tennessee and moved to New York. Are you ever going to feel like a New Yorker?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No. So, yeah. So, that moved me. And now that Winnie has had her epiphany, she has to go and find Luke. But she can't find him because he's off with the Wild West Amusements CEO, probably accepting that job offer.
Probably signing the contract the night of the event, because that's how things
right
work.
Right there, yes. Yeah. Winnie wanders around the park and somehow improbably winds up on an empty stage.
Yeah.
And equally improbably, Dolly shows up and sits next to her.
I gasped.
Did you?
Yeah, Danica is sitting on this, like, bench on the stage. Why, as you say, so improbable.
All lit up still.
It's still all lit up, yeah. And then Dolly just walks around the corner, and I just went, oh, it's Dolly. She's going to come sit down and give her some down-home advice.
And she does.
Yeah.
She thanks Winnie for the wonderful event. Winnie spills her heart and gushes about how inspiring Dolly is. Dolly says that she personally never gave up on herself, even when other people doubted her.
Aww.
And that's the secret to her success. Mm-hmm. And then she reveals that Luke got the GM job. And Winnie's like, what?
What?
And then Dolly's like, oh, yeah, I'll text Luke and tell him to meet you up on Glacier Ridge. Because
that's the romantic
what
spot.
Dolly does.
Yeah.
And then Dolly says, she draws, don't you just love a happy ending?
Oh, God.
I do.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting a text from Dolly that's like, go up on Glacier Ridge? You'd be like, okay, I'm going to go up on Glacier Ridge right now.
Yeah.
Dolly has a surprise for me.
Dolly's
going
to murder me.
Dolly's gonna push me off the ridge. Yeah.
But it's, what a way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So under the sparkling lights on Glacier Ridge, Luke tells Winnie that he again turned down the Wild West Amusements job. And then she gives him all the good news. He's the new GM, she's staying in Tennessee, and she's not going to settle for good enough anymore. With tears in her eyes, she says, I'm not giving up on myself this time. Or at least that's how she would have said it
if she actually had
the Tennessee accent she should
Tennessee.
Have had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a missed opportunity.
It was.
Yeah.
And then they kiss, and it's pretty passionate.
It was a good kiss.
It was.
Yeah,
her cheeks were like,
yeah.
They were sucking on each other.
Yeah, and his hand like went down her waist.
Yeah.
I was like, there's hand movement on Hallmark? There's no hand movement.
It was passionate.
It was passionate.
And from behind a Christmas tree, Dolly is spying on them. She says, now that's what I call a happy ending. And I wonder why the writers felt like they had to have Dolly label the happy ending of the movie, not once,
but
twice.
I don't, yeah.
Why?
I mean,
okay.
You know, signposting.
Yeah, I guess.
Viewers are dumb.
Oh, is that what that was?
Oh,
it was a happy ending.
Oh, thank God. I wasn't sure how I was supposed to feel about this.
Yes, right.
But Dolly's
happy
told
ending.
Me it's a happy ending.
Okay, awesome.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, cool.
And then we get an epilogue.
We get an epilogue 1 year later.
That's what the title informs us. Winnie and Luke and Ava and Grammy and Papa are all around the Christmas tree. And there's one more gift for Winnie to open. It's from Dolly, Luke explains. It's a copy of Winnie's children's book. Published already. But, says Winnie, why would Dolly give me my own book?
Indeed, why?
The letter inside the cover explains, Winnie's book has been chosen for Dolly's Imagination Library. Now kids all over the world will receive copies of her book.
Yeah, Dolly's buying like 10,000 copies of her book or something.
So Luke and Winnie kiss, and I note that the blocking of the scene made sure to show his bare left hand, which suggests to me that in our own world, the 1 year later flash forward may include a movie called Christmas Wedding at Dollywood.
Yeah.
Because they haven't married yet.
Oh my God, I hope so.
And that's, yeah. Because why else would they? I thought it was, they made it very apparent that they are not
that
married.
That they're not
based
married
on his bare hand. Yes.
Yeah.
So, because they did Wedding at Graceland this year earlier, right?
Was it the same characters? I thought it was different characters in Graceland. Or different actors. Because Pickler wasn't in it, right?
You're right. Or was she? I didn't watch it.
I saw the preview, and it's not Pickler. It's someone else.
Okay. Wow.
Well, I would be down for Wedding at Dollywood next year.
I mean, Niall Mader was in that horrible Meeting Father Christmas, Engaging Father Christmas,
Marrying
Father
Christmas
trilogy. So maybe he's up for this. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I was happy for Winnie, but that the timeline just so
yeah.
One Christmas she's like, I'm gonna be an author, and then by the next Christmas she's written something, she's got a deal,
yeah,
they've published it, she has a hard copy, like
yes.
A year
doesn't
and,
seem right.
And in that year she's moving back to Tennessee from New York City and trying to get work as an event planner.
Right.
That just seems bananas.
Yeah, too much.
But you know, it's Hallmark.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I thought is that she did actually have so many of those stories written that maybe she, like...
Just grabbed something she already
grabbed something she'd already... I mean, still, the timeline with editing and production and all of that, and contract and all that,
mm-hmm.
doesn't make sense. But she probably didn't have to write the book.
Oh, good point. Good point. I was glad when he first was saying, oh, there's one more gift under the tree, my mind went to engagement ring.
Oh, yeah.
And... I was very happy that it was not an engagement ring.
Me too.
It was,
yes. It was career.
It was, yeah. And so many times in these movies, the woman gives up the career, not
yes.
for a better career.
No.
But just to move back home and
yes.
do some lesser version of what they were doing before.
Right. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like just,
yeah,
I'm just
going
to be an event planner in Tennessee.
Yes.
But no, she's actually pursuing her dream of being an author.
Yes.
So that was good.
It was.
That was
You're
good.
Right.
I mean, think of Winnie in My Christmas Dream. In My Christmas Dream, she worked at the department store, and she got offered a job at the French version of that department store in Paris.
Oh.
But she fell in love with, I don't know, some guy who was like head of maintenance at the
I don't think I've seen this one.
My Christmas Dream.
Oh, crap.
Or My Dream of Christmas.
Oh, no. Okay.
And it involved her turning down the Paris job.
No!
Yeah. At the end of the movie, she said, you know, I'm not going to go to Paris. Paris was just an old dream. This is my new dream.
Oh, no, no, no.
My new dream is to move into your house with your kid and continue to work at this same department store.
Oh.
Yeah, it was sad.
Oh, or when Brooke Burke gives up being a flight attendant based in Rome.
Yeah.
To live with that schlubby journalist and his cute daughter, but
yeah.
still.
Yeah.
Rome, Brooke, Rome.
Rome.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a much better ending than an engagement ring.
You're right, I agree.
I first went to engagement ring and I'm glad that they didn't go there.
Yes. Yeah.
That's good. Okay.
So, I want us to try and do a little script doctoring.
Okay.
So if we were called in to make, as writers, to make this a better movie, what are some of the things you would do?
I have a couple things. They're pretty general, but more of the Smoky Mountains. The Smoky Mountains are stunning. I
yes.
feel like we didn't get any grand... I wanted, like, a drone view.
Stock.
Of
like,
the
they could have just...
Like, that would have been easy to do.
Buy that, yeah.
Yeah, more beautiful Smoky Mountains and
yep.
more Tennessee accents.
Yes.
This
I wanted
really
more
general.
Of the park. So,
more
like
of the
we said before,
park.
Some roller coaster scenes.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
I wanted to see somebody on a roller coaster.
And romantic.
Yes.
That could have been romantic.
Yes.
Yeah. I would have liked to see them actually working on the event and not goofing off so much.
Yes.
It was distracting to me that they were goofing off
yeah.
so much.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I wanted, and I understand why maybe this couldn't happen, I wanted Dolly to perform.
Mm.
Like, I wanted her to sing a song live
yeah.
on
yeah.
stage, not just MC.
Right.
Yeah.
We just heard recordings, right? We heard
yeah.
Winter Wonderland, which I thought was a great version of
yeah.
Winter Wonderland.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
yeah, yeah.
that. And
yeah.
then, of course, Hard Candy Christmas,
and there
which
was
is great.
Another one somewhere. Maybe
I don't
in
remember.
The end credits.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the end credits. That would have been good.
Yeah.
Better kid.
Yeah. Yes. I wanted a gay character. I know that... But they are slipping gay characters into some of these movies, and Dolly does have a significant following in the gay community, and she has done so much, and she has done quite a bit in her life for HIV/AIDS charities, and so, she needs to, that community needed to be represented.
Agreed. Agreed.
Maybe a park decorator.
That would have been sweet.
Yeah, like
yeah.
a sort of,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, they're still so ambiguous, right? The
yeah.
gay characters. It's still just like, oh, the flamboyant hairdresser who doesn't really have a boyfriend
yeah.
or doesn't really...
Yeah, they're getting a little... that Ruby Herring series, which is terrible.
Oh, I've only
but
seen the first one.
Well, they had that really kind of like effeminate middle-aged Filipino man.
Yes, that's
totally
true.
Totally read as gay. And then
yes.
he was back as her slightly more gay sidekick in the second one.
Really?
Like, for no reason. Like, he shouldn't have been in that mystery. But then he was back talking about, like, oh, talking about art and praising the young, handsome artist. He's such a brilliant artist.
Okay.
So they're...
They're starting.
Wedging open that closet door a little.
The best representation was last year, Road to Christmas.
Yes, I love that one. The gay couple that runs the animal shelter.
That runs the animal shelter.
Yes.
I mean, they stole my heart.
I love them.
They made me cry.
I love them.
And they were unequivocally,
they
were a couple.
They
were together.
I mean, pretty clearly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Hallmark, you know, I think that they are catering still to their old base.
Yes.
And starting to embrace
yes.
their new base. I mean, there are a lot of, especially women of color,
yeah,
watching
yeah.
the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are a lot of gays watching
yeah.
the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, heck yeah.
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 So
yeah.
they're I'd like
yeah.
to see them move a little faster.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Yes.
But I'm glad they're doing something.
Me too.
Yeah.
Then I would also, as we said earlier, I'd like to see more of Luke's life and background. Like, could we meet
yeah.
his poor parents?
Right. It's odd that he grew up there.
Yeah.
He's so entrenched there,
yeah.
and we really know nothing about, we never see his house
yeah.
or his place.
I think that could have, they could have filled that character in.
We don't meet any of his... I mean, you would think, presumably, he would have nieces and nephews.
Yeah, probably.
Climbing all over
right.
him.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, that's true.
That was an omission.
Yeah. So, shall we try and rank this?
Yes, let's do it.
And the suggestion that you had, which I liked, is to sort of establish a ceiling,
mm-hmm.
what we think are the best ones, and a floor, which we think are the worst ones of
yeah.
Christmas movies, and then see where this one sort of fits in.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So, my ceilings of all time, Nine Lives of Christmas.
I love that movie so much.
It's so good.
It's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
It was on earlier today.
Oh.
I watched it. And A Gift to Remember, which I love that one.
It's good.
Amnesia Bookstore,
Bike
yeah.
Ride.
Adorable. Adorable.
It's good stuff.
And then my 2020 ceiling, my ceiling from this season, and I haven't seen as many as I could have, Christmas in Rome. Lackey Chasbert, she's still my go-to heroine. Like, she's my favorite.
It.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see it. It's on my DVR.
So those are my ceilings.
Yeah.
My floor, Shoe Addict Christmas.
That was the worst
that
movie ever.
So bad.
That was so bad.
I think Jean Smart is, like, a treasure. Like,
and
she is always exceptional.
They humiliated her. Yeah, that was...
I hated that one.
Unforgivable.
I usually like Candace Cameron Bure, although
uh-huh.
she doesn't usually make my ceilings. But Shoe Addict's Christmas and that stupid time travel one that she's
Journey
in.
Back to Christmas.
Journey Back to Christmas. Floors.
Terrible.
Any Christmas movie with Lori Loughlin, they never did any good ones with her.
No.
Bramble House Christmas, I think, is bad. I haven't seen any truly terrible ones this season because I've mostly...
Yeah.
Because I refuse to watch the one
yeah.
with Mark Blucas in it.
Oh, no, yeah.
But I'm sure that's terrible.
I don't watch movies with Riley.
Yeah.
I haven't seen horrible Christmas movies this season.
Yeah.
But I've seen some really generic, really boring ones. Nostalgic Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Super boring. Although I like Brooke Dorsey.
Yeah, with all the...
Super boring. Scavenger Hunt Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So tedious.
Yeah.
So dumb. Really boring.
Yeah.
My tops this season are I loved Two Turtle Doves.
Yes, I still have
haven't
to see
that.
And it's on my DVR.
Nikki DeLoach
yeah.
and Michael Rady.
Yeah.
And it's on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, not
okay.
the regular Hallmark Channel. So there's a little more sadness in it.
Yeah.
You know how they make that distinction.
I can't grasp it. But
okay.
Yes.
Well, the Hallmark Channel ones are frothy.
Uh-huh.
And the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries have supposedly maybe a little more emotional depth.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways.
Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And how would you rank this? How would you rank Dollywood?
This is somewhere, I guess unsurprisingly, in the middle between
yeah.
the ceiling of...
I think it's closer to the ceiling.
But you know, honestly, I would rank Christmas at Graceland over it. I think Christmas at Graceland...
Really?
Yeah, is actually more enjoyable.
Oh.
Like, I think... Like, one of the things I like about this movie is that there's really hardly any negativity. There's almost no conflict. There's almost no drama.
Yeah.
And I don't like drama a lot of the time, but I think in the end, that just makes it feel like...
You need something.
And, like, I just let it wash over me.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly, I don't think I would sit down and watch this one again.
Yeah. Well, what happened with me is I watched it in at least two parts. And I found the first hour very slow and very boring and very tedious, which is why I kept falling asleep.
Yes.
And forgetting portions.
Yeah.
And then when I watched the second hour, it got a lot more interesting and fun. I think that's when they started having chemistry. They went line dancing.
Yeah.
They were trying on the Christmas outfits. There was more of the when's Dolly going to show up, which I appreciated. I think, you know, instead of a two-hour movie, if this movie were, like, 75 minutes, it would maybe be a ceiling.
Yeah, be a little tighter. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be up there.
Yeah. So I'm willing to have this on in the background if there's nothing else, if it's better than what's on the other Hallmark channel. But, yeah, I'm not going to sit down and watch it. It doesn't crack my top 25.
Oh, probably not. No. Probably not. Yeah.
But...
Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
Thanks for recapping, Uncle Brian.
Thank you for riding along.
Yeah,
So, dear listener,
we have just finished our first Christmas movie recap. I hope that it's the first of many to come.
I hope so too.
If we can get our act together and get more organized earlier in the season,
we will. And if Trans-Siberian Orchestra is not touring,
we might get Auntie Sarah back.
If that's where she is.
That even is where she is.
Right.
Yeah. I could also be more flexible about my Christmas movie watching schedule. So I will watch Christmas in July.
Oh, but maybe we could do one in July.
But when they do Christmas in July in June, I boycott.
Yeah. Yes.
I believe that that's wrong.
Yes.
They also do Christmas Thursdays for the rest of the summer.
They sure do.
Which I also don't believe in.
Yeah.
And this year they started on October 18th.
They started...
It was going to be October 25th.
Season, yeah.
But then Lifetime started their Christmas movies earlier.
And they
bumped
a Lackey Chasbert crossword mystery to actually throw Christmas movies on instead.
They did. They threw Lackey under the bus, which was not okay.
I'm still waiting for Abracadaver.
Oh, it's on my DVR. They did re-show it. I'm pretty sure I have it on my DVR.
Oh, I thought it wasn't going to come till January.
Well, I think they bumped it, but then people got upset, and then they showed it.
Let's look into that.
We'll look into that.
Okay.
If it's in January, then we'll watch it in January.
I'm excited.
Lackey,
yeah.
So typically I wait till November 2nd to start watching Christmas movies, but I could loosen things up and maybe we could get an early one in next season.
Let us know if you think we should, dear listeners.
We'd appreciate that, dear listener. All right, happy holidays!
Happy holidays! We wish you a wonderful holiday season and an exciting 2020, and we'll be back with Cedar Cove.
We will. We promise. We have 3 episodes recorded. We have 3 more to record, and then we're going to drop them all in early 2020.
Yay!